A stillness full of lights. An Imperial Raj series podfic, written by Raven, also known as Single Crow, and read by Calicaria. This story has been rated for general audiences and has been tagged. No archive warnings apply. Summary. A gift from Mercy of Collar, or A Brief History of Becoming. Oh, Fleet Captain, say Varadin at her most carelessly aristocratic, turning on the threshold of the decade room. One more thing. Yes, I said, but say Varadin merely stood there, not quite at attention. I was about to say something else, when I realized that among the murmur of conversation in the room and the sound of breakfast cutlery on plates, Collar 7 had begun to sing. Her voice was good, sonorous as it lifted, sparsely describing some delicate lamentation for the dead. Her sister sings in the Gaunish tradition, Sivarden explained, and I remembered the custom among one of the Gaunish cultures from before they were civilized, to compose, extemporaneously, for grief.
Mercy of Collar,
Sivarden said, very gently, and the ship shifted in my awareness, its presence apparent, then distant. He was showing me the others. Collar, four decks below, taking up the next choral part. Collar 8, while assisting a tech medic on duty, coming in on the next change of the chorus. Then the three of them together, each melodic phrase wound like a vine around a tree. Lieutenant Sivarden, I said, not knowing, perhaps, what I would say next, but in the next moment I understood that Sivarden's aristocratic nonchalance served her well as a mantle she could drop, or pick up. Under her look I did not speak, but listened to the rise and rise of the music. Lieutenant Sivarden, I said. Once on the planet Shis-Orna, in the lower city by the water by the Four Temple, a child went missing. Divine, Lieutenant An was saying, it is possible for us to render assistance, searching in the marshlands. What she was not saying was that the child, if found by me, might choose to remain lost. The head priest and her lungi stood by the entrance to the temple, impassive in her indecision, and Lieutenant An chose to act. Divine, she said, and then, citizen. And now the annexation was over. They were all citizens. They were entitled to assistance from Lieutenant An and Justice of Torin, one ask. The head priest inclined her head and said, I accept your offer of assistance, Lieutenant. And it was spoken with some edge of distaste, but recognition of the state of how things were, of how Amat willed, Lieutenant An thought, then corrected herself to Ikt, then called one ask, and sent the soldiers who'd been dead things, who'd shot children and thrown their bodies into the deep, black, algae-rich water, into the marshlands to search for the missing girl. One ask will find her, Lieutenant An told the High Priest. One ask will bring her home safely.
You place enormous trust in one ask, Lieutenant An,
the High Priest said, and she was standing up straight now, looking out over the marshlands where my segments carried their lights. Yes, Lieutenant An said. I do. I was standing within earshot, as Lieutenant An's right hand. I was running through the marshes. I was searching. I was moving silently in that stillness, full of lights. I had found the girl, and although she was scared, at first, she came running as I sang. My heart is a fish hiding in the water grass, and hid no more.
Atrepa,
Sivarden said, and the ship showed me Atrepa Decade. On their rest now, some halfway to sleeping, but with their eyes sharp to attention, their heads uplifted. They were not all singing, but Mercy of Collar showed me soldiers working more than their allotted shifts, on maintenance and repair, so their sisters might take the time to learn their parts.
Bow,
Sivardin said, and in among those voices rising I heard Tisarwat, and the grief in her wordlessness. More voices.
Amat.
I understood the nature of the thing, the way the song was structured like a step pyramid, each new voice a new terrace, so one final singer would arrive and depart on the same line, the same word, but somehow I was surprised when Sivardin said,
Fleet Captain Brack.
And in my voice the ship said, Speak the name of your dad. I could communicate with a ship faster than speech, which was necessary, as not to spoil the rhythm. I said, I am an ancillary. Ship said, Ancillary to what? Once, Lieutenant An took the offerings from the little girl Dao's Kate, the citizen flower bearer, and gave them to me unthinking. By some instinct, I took them from her hands, and by some deeper and older instinct, I let them fall to my feet and stepped away. Oh, Lieutenant An said, surprised at herself and gripped by some other emotion I could not name. Oh, one ask, I shouldn't.
Lieutenant An,
said the High Priest of Ikt, from where she was sitting, watching over the casting. Ikt, like Amat, did not demand exclusive donations.
Does something trouble you?
I shouldn't have given it to her, Lieutenant An said, and she did sound troubled, as well as surprised. One ask one is an ancillary. I am a dead thing, I explained to the High Priest, when it became clear Lieutenant An would not say anything further. An ancillary may not touch the offerings. It, said Lieutenant An, and still that strange emotion gripped her, the one on which I could not place a name. I shouldn't have given it the flowers.
Dao's Kate, the High Priest said to the little girl, using a formal register of the Orsian language. Go quickly and fetch new offerings for Lieutenant An and one ask.
She stooped. She took the flowers away from my feet.
I told you, once,
she said, looking up at me as she rose,
that in the old days there were choral singers here, all together in long lines, singing to the glory of Ikt. I can speak more of the songs they sang.
I would like that, Divine, I said, and Lieutenant An had heard the story also, but was comforted to hear it again now, at this time and place. The note came. I sang my single syllable, and the ship dimmed all voices but my own and one other, so that the crew might speak their dead in privacy. The only other name I heard was longer than one syllable, and not made for human bodies' ears to hear. But I could still find meaning in a ship's mourning, and in justice of Torin, I could hear myself still. One ask, Lieutenant An said. She was in the bath, where I attended her. Are you capable of feelings? Ships have feelings, I answered. I poured water from the mug and bucket over her head, and she looked up at me as the steam rose. Otherwise, making insignificant decisions can become excruciating attempts to compare inconsequential things. But that's you, Justice of Torin, Lieutenant An said, making a vague gesture, and in its very vagueness was some comfort, I noticed. She could gesture in any direction and she would be pointing at Justice of Torin. At me. I know that the ship has feelings. I meant you, one ask. I am Justice of Torin, one ask, I said, and she gave me a half smile of understanding. As she stepped out of the bathtub, she reached for the gloves I had laid out and took my hand to balance herself. I am how I was made, as you are how Amat made you. Do you believe that? Lieutenant An asked. Or is it just what you've learned to say? Like you know how to interpret how the omens fall, even if I don't, or the priest doesn't.
In 2,000 years, I have seen every configuration.
I sat.
Have you felt every feeling?
Lieutenant An asked me, with a lightness in her tone I associated with humor, although it seemed different to me now. She was naked apart from her gloves, and water stood out glittering and bright in her hair.
Perhaps, I said, but perhaps not, and perhaps I may yet.
When the music died away again, step by step, the last singer was Care 7, her voice fading into a soft single line, and then to silence. Around the ship there was a great stillness, before the work of the crew continued, and breakfast conversation arose once more.
Thank you, I said to Care 7, for this gift.
Fleet Captain, she said, in acknowledgement, and she was not a human I could read well yet, but the ship told me that the heat in her cheeks was embarrassment, and also pleasure. Sivarden had not sung, but she I knew well. I knew that once her mind was set upon a thing, she could always use the tools, human or ancillary, at hand.
Thank you, Lieutenant Sivarden, I said, more softly this time, and in the flicker of her glance at me I read satisfaction at a job well done. And there was the third.
Ships have feelings, Mercy of Kala remarked as I walked down to my quarters. Or else, making insignificant decisions can become excruciating attempts to compare an array of inconsequential things.
They have favorites, I said, and it might have been a correction, or just a mere addition, to what Mercy of Kala had said. I was not sure, myself.
More than that, they have kindnesses, Mercy of Kala said.
Ships have empathy, and they do not forget. I walked through the long corridors of the ship and thought about that, about a ship's kindness, about gratitude, about other things I could not, now, articulate, because I had been what it was, and was no longer.
Caller 5, Mercy of Caller said, both for my benefit, and, it showed me, in the ear of Caller 5, attend on Fleet Captain Breck. Bring it some tea.
Bring her some tea, I said.
Of course, said the ship. When Caller 5 brought the tea, I thanked her, too. She was human, not an ancillary, but she was more than just herself. She was a soldier, and a citizen, and a connoisseur of good porcelain, and a member of the captain's decade, and of the ship's crew, and even I can remember what it is to be more than just skin and bone. We find something of ourselves everywhere. I think Mercy of Kalar understood.
The end. Thanks for listening.